She is a name and a face that South Africans know. She's done some incredible things in the music world, and I think we're just the tip of the iceberg. And very happy to have on my couch today, hey, Holly Ray.
Hey, it's Holly Ray.
Holly, I'm so happy that you're here. I think the first time I met you, we were all cruising together when we did the East Coast Breakfast Roadshow.
I think it was Cape Town.
Yes,
the first time, yeah.
I remember being quite enamored by you. In fact, you arrived with this most beautiful sequins jacket.
Yes.
And for me, like this ultimate kind of pop star vibe. And I was actually a little bit intimidated by you, I'll be honest. And the more I got to know you, the more you softened in my space, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I know that everyone knows Holly Ray. I know Holly Ray. But do we really know Holly Ray? So let's just start at the beginning. Where were you born, Holly?
I was born in Westville Hospital.
Westville?
To a single mum. My mum's amazing. My mum was quite young when she had me, so we've got quite a close relationship. In fact, this year I'm turning 25. She's turning 50. So she had me when she was like 25. She was in varsity when she fell pregnant. And so, yeah, we were very close. And I grew up with my mum and my gran in the same house. So also very close with my grandmother. And I think that for me, it was really incredible to be raised by two really strong, powerful women who just gave me so much. And yeah, I went to school in Westville for a bit. And then when I was about 8 years old, I went to boarding school in the Midlands.
Oh.
Because my mum, I was an only child and there weren't a lot of kids in the family. And it was quite lonely for me. And she was always working. So she would leave the house at 7:30, come home at 7:30. And she just thought it'd be a better life for me to be able to go to boarding school. And then when I come home in the weekends, just have her attention all
just
the time.
A quick jump in question. If you had a daughter now, would you send her to boarding school?
I think so. I think boarding schools changed quite a lot. Like, I know the boarding school I went to, when I went there, it was very like country. It was very like run around with no shoes.
Oh, not like country, like yeehaw.
No, not like yeehaw. Just like it was really organic. It was just this place where kids could be free. Now I think it's a lot more like digitized. And so I think I'd look at it. Definitely boys. I'd definitely send them to boarding school.
All right.
100%. But I think I'd have to cross that bridge when I came to it. But I think I would. Maybe not so young.
Yeah.
But I think I would.
You were 8 when you went.
I was 8, yeah.
You said something as you started, and you said you grew up with your mom. She had you as an only mom.
Yes.
Was dad in the picture at any?
Not at all.
Have you met
him? So I've never met my father. I don't even know what he looks like. He could walk past me in the street and I honestly would have no clue. And that was a decision he made. My mom offered him the opportunity to be a part of my life, but it just wasn't what he wanted. He got married a few months later after I was born.
Are you
so
serious?
Yeah, great for him. You know, he has other kids. I've got brothers that I don't know. Also could walk past me in the street, wouldn't know them.
Hold on a second. I have to ask this. I've heard so many things, and like you read them in these tabloids, where people that are separated family members, they'd end up actually being quite attracted to. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that your love of men might be a little bit darker than your brothers.
100%.
But if you ever feel the tingles for a Caucasian, one must ask who the family tree situation is.
You know what? The thing is that I feel like that can happen when personalities are similar and you're raised in a similar environment. But I really think that myself and my siblings are raised in very different environments. Unfortunately, what I've come to know about my father, what I've heard is he's not the nicest person. He's quite racist. And that's why I've never pursued a relationship with him.
Oh, wow.
Because he's just not the kind of person I think I would want to have a relationship with.
Does he know what your name is? Like, if he hears a song, oh, this is Deepa Holly Ray, he's like, oh, in his head, he knows.
I think he knows my name is Holly, but, I don't think he would know that I am Holly Ray. I have no idea. But, you know, also, a lot of people always ask me, like, oh, isn't it hard? And I'm like, you don't miss what you never had, you know? And I think I had a lot of friends growing up whose fathers were in and out of their lives, and I think that's a lot more difficult. Mm-hmm. I feel blessed that he decided not to be in my life at all. And what my mom also did was great. My mom never demonized my father to me. She never created this horrible picture. If I asked questions, she would answer them. She wanted me to form my own image of who this person was.
And in your own,
and that was important.
In your own relationships with men, do you ever find that you have the proverbial daddy issue coming through, where you think, of my own, and just understand my wording here, I'm just trying to get
it as bloody
as possible. If my own dad didn't want to stay, why would you?
No, I don't think so. I think again, because I never had that in and out. You know, I had a really solid family structure. It was different. It wasn't a mom, a dad, two kids, but it was solid. I had a grandma. grandmother, I had a mother, I had uncles who were in my life. I had an incredible family that, like I said, was solid. It was a support structure. No one ever left. So, and I think that was really important. And
it was exactly what little Holly needed.
Exactly. And I had so much love all the time. There was never a time in my life where I felt unloved in my family structure or anything like that. And I think also just the way my mom spoke about my dad and spoke about the situation, it was never about me. It was about he made a decision.
That's good parenting from your mom.
She's incredible. So it was about him and his problems. And that was the best thing I think she could have ever done for me.
And 6-year-old Holly, if I'd seen her and I'd been like, hi, Holly, you're so cute. What do you want to be when you grow up? What would 6-year-old Holly have told me?
I always wanted to be something bigger and something better. And I was always, I think from when I was 6, I was like, I want to be an actor, a singer. I want to be something bigger and special. And my whole life I knew, I wouldn't say 6-year-old Holly, I knew that I was going to be something. I look at my sister now who's that age and she knows what she wants to be, you know?
Mimi, yeah.
I mean, she knows she's going to be famous. She's going to be a singer, an actor. She's going to be something. And I think I probably was the same. I had the same, I wasn't as extroverted as Mimi. I was a little bit more shy, but I definitely knew that that's what I want to do. And I think a little bit older when I was in like prep school, I think I always knew I wanted to do something extraordinary with my life. I went to a boarding school where girls became their mothers and married their fathers, and it was just a cycle that repeated. And because I came from such a different family structure, I always knew I didn't want that. I didn't want to be ordinary. I didn't want to just go to university, meet my husband at varsity, get married, live that life. I always wanted something exceptional.
What were you like at school, actually? Were you someone who had lots of friends? Were you ever bullied? Did you ever bully?
I was, you know, someone asked me, they were like, you must have been the coolest person in school. Like, I would have loved to be your friend. And I was like, if you knew me in school, like, I was so different. I've always been different. I've never really fitted in with everyone. I've always been the kind of person who had like one or two friends. Didn't have a big social circle. I'm quite shy. I'm quite an introvert. Like, if I have extra time to spend, I'll spend it by myself or with, you know, my close circle. I was bullied quite badly in school, from prep school and then into high school as well.
Why?
I think in prep school because I wanted to do music and I didn't want to play sport and I was a bit odd. And also, like, my family wasn't, families all went on holidays together, and my mom was a single mom who didn't fit into the parent circle. So I was then excluded from the children's circle, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay.
And I was always, like I said, I was always just different. I just liked different things. My friends were listening to Britney Spears and I was listening to Mendoza and Professor, and I was just that kid. I just had no, I didn't like the same things that my friends like.
Okay, I'm gonna jump on that as you said that, because once Elisa was an older woman, and yes, she was Caucasian. So I was saying something about Holly Ray, and they're like, oh, is that the white Zulu girl? So obviously there are a few people, and I'll be honest as well. The first time I heard Deeper, I did not hear it with a face.
Yes,
I heard
it
and I was like, ah, this is sick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the first time I saw the mouth that was singing Deeper, I was like, wait, what? She's white.
Yeah.
But is that something that you've had a lot?
All the time.
And what is this? I mean, do you feel like you've, I'm not going to say taken on, because you by no means are trying to be a Zulu or black woman.
Yes,
you definitely have embodied whether the culture or just the style.
I think for me, it was when I signed my first deal when I was 14 years old.
Elses.
And when I signed the deal, it was very much, I was blonde, I had the look, I had to do pop music. That's what the box was. And I remember I got into it and they got this amazing producer who's like one of the biggest producers in South Africa to get in there. And he was playing me, I think at the time it was like Willow Smith was really big and like all that sound. And I was like, this is going to be really hard for me to do because this is not who I am. But we produced the album and then we're about to release it. And I was like, look, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get on stage. I'm not going to perform these songs. It's not me. I can't. And I did.
And you were 14 at this point.
I was about 15 when we were releasing the album.
Sure, that's
when I decided.
Brave.
Yeah, and it was tough because, you know, when a record label's throwing money at you, you kind of just do what you're told. And I just said, look, I can't do it. I can't release this album. I can't do it. I can't get on stage and perform these songs with conviction, and I can't be what you want me to be. So I decided to make house music, and it was the easiest thing I ever did. Easiest decision
Where
I ever made.
Where is that other album now?
Somewhere. I've got actually The other day someone phoned me, they're like, we've got 2,000 copies, and I went and picked them up. So I think they're in my garage somewhere.
Holly, for the love of everything, I want to, please, if we could just get like a snippet.
It's really painful.
Which is why we need it.
We'll see what we can do.
You know, the blooper reel of Holly Ray.
For some people, they're like, oh, these songs are good. And for me, it's painful to listen to because it's not me. And it's so pop. It's so like Britney Spears, like painfully pop. So I think like making house music has been the most comfortable space that I've ever occupied. And it's, you know, there's this whole conversation about cultural appropriation and what it is. And, you know, the thing is, when I did my degree, in my undergrad degree, I was really interested in studying white privilege and appropriation in a South African context, because we read so much American literature, but we have to understand the concepts in a different way, because in America, white people are the majority of the population. Yeah. Black people are minority of the population. South Africa, it's the reverse. So we have to understand appropriation and culture in such a different way.
Yeah.
And as white South Africans being the minority, we have to start assimilating into the majority culture. That's how it has to happen. And I think there is a fine line between appropriation, appreciation, and assimilation, and how do we make that work. But I think for me, it's really important that as a white South African, I do start assimilating into majority culture and appreciating it, and start to understand what it means and defining my own culture as a new gen South African.
And I mean, we touched on it earlier, from a dating scale, you just prefer black men, right?
Look, the thing is, like, I don't go out into the world, I'm like, I'm only going to date this, or it's just what I'm attracted to. If I meet a nice person and I connect with them, great. If I don't, that's just what it is. You know, like, even when I was a kid, I remember when I was about 13 and I had my first boyfriend who was of color. And when I was in school, and the mother sat my mom down there, like, look, because I never told my mom I was 13. Like, I wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend as well. My mom was quite strict about that. So I never told them. They sat down, like, look, Holly is dating, blah, blah, blah. And my mom was like, Holly has a boyfriend. Like, she's like, no. The boyfriend is not the issue in the situation, Vivian. It's that he is black. And mom was like, yeah, that's what they do. You know,
I love the quiet
black. Yes, yeah. And mom was like, yeah, and? Like,
I love your
the
mother.
The point that you're
Shout
trying
out
to
to
make
Vivian.
Is, so I think for me, I'm lucky my family is just date who you want to date, love who you want to love, be who you want to be. Like, that's my family.
Well, can we also just say that you're very flipping lucky then for your genes? Because, girl, you've got an amazing body. And secondly, you can dance. Like, a lot of my Caucasian sisters were not blessed. So the fact that this is where you feel drawn to, you can also be very grateful to Vivian and Daddy Shall Not Be Named, because the two of them, they made something pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we hope so. So from here going on forward, you were really at a point where the last time I spoke to you, you were jetting left, right, forward, back.
Yes.
It was, I met you and your sister Mimi, who will get you in a second. I know we don't have too much time, but you were jetting overseas and coming back, then Joburg, then coming back, then moving to Joburg, but still performing in Durban, and then Cape Town in the morning, then Joburg in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Where are you taking time for you so that you don't burn out now, where you are going to be hitting this peak and continuing there? So what are you doing for you to continue?
It's so interesting you ask that, because at the beginning of this year, I was completely burnt out. I was just so run down. Someone would say hello and I'd just like start crying. I was just like an emotional wreck, a physical wreck. I couldn't get on stage and perform because my body was so tired. And I went to my doctor and I walked to the doctor and I just like started crying. I was like, I'm so tired. I don't know what to do with myself. And she was like, I want you to go home and I want you to write down what you would say to your friend in this situation. Like, if your friend was in the situation that you're in now, she was exhausted, you're tired, I just want you to write down what you would say to her. And I want you to read it back to yourself, and I want you to take that advice. And I did that. And I took a moment and I stepped back and I was like, I need 2 weeks. I need to take a break. I need to be kinder to my body. I need to be kinder to myself. Because I'm very like, I want to do everything. If there's a performance, if there's 5 performances a day, I want to do all of them. If there's 10 interviews, I want to do all of them. Like, I'm that kind of person. I don't want to let anyone down. I don't want to, you know. And I just got to where I realized, like, I have to be kinder to myself. I have to allow myself to not be everything for everyone. And I took 2 weeks and I slept for 2 weeks. I came home. I went and stayed at my family's house for a while. I ate like my Grant's food for 2 weeks. It was the best thing. And now three after booters, that experience, yeah, I'm really trying to do things, even if it's like an hour a week or 30 minutes a day or something, where I just have quiet time and I can pull myself together and do something that's for me, collect my thoughts, because it happens really quickly. It can burn out so quickly, especially when you're someone like me who I don't have a stop button. I just keep going and going until I collapse.
But you know, Holly, as you're talking right now, I'm in my head, I'm picturing other women listening right now, a mom, a businesswoman, a daughter, someone in school, matriculant, varsity, med student, someone who's sitting in the taxi on their way to go and clean a house for 8 hours today, who doesn't stop and take time for herself, who doesn't just stop every day and go, oh, I need this for me, because there is no off button for a lot of people, whether it's because of your kids or your partner or just yourself. I think what you're saying is prevalent. You don't have to be a pop star or a house music star in order to take this advice. And I think that if we can take anything away from that, is that you need to take time for you.
Even if it's 5 minutes a day.
Every day.
You know, just to pull your thoughts together, pull yourself together, pull your emotions together. It's so important.
And I want to, before we go, I just want to talk about your sister quickly.
Yes.
I met Mimi at our Toy Story corporate day, end of 2019. That little spark is another. She is
everything.
She is like a soul from the Temptations. Come through into this little girl. So she is obviously your sister.
Yes.
How?
So Mimi, when I was 18, I just finished my trek. We heard about this little girl who'd been abandoned. She'd been left in a shack for 48 hours. And a child, what had happened is someone came, she'd been crying and crying and crying, and the neighbors thought, oh, it's a sick baby. You know, she's just, maybe a baby's got flu, you know, babies cry.
Yeah.
So no one checked on her, and about 48 hours after she was left, a little girl went and was like, look, something's wrong. The door was unlocked. She opened the door and there she was sitting on the bed by herself. And unfortunately, her mom had got sucked into drugs and into that horrible world. Her grandmother just couldn't afford to look after her. She had 5 kids of her own. She was battling TB at that time. The mom said, look, we'll look after her for a little bit just so you can, you know, sort out what you need to sort out. We'll just help you along. And she came into our family and it was just, was this meant to be? She fell in love with my mom, and from the day she came in, my mom was her mom. I was her sister. That's just how it was. And she's been the best thing that ever happened to my family. My mom always says, like, she was really nervous. She never thought about adoption because she had me and I was, you know, and she thought, oh, you know, do you feel the same? Even my grandma was like, do you love a child the same? Like, how does it work if you're not biologically related to them? Mom said she just grew another heart. She just grew another heart, and her second heart is Mimi's and her first one is mine. And that's just how it worked. And she said she would tell anyone to please adopt, because you feel like you're not sure, is there a difference? Is there not? It's exactly the same. You love your child exactly the same. Mimi is 100% my mom's favorite. She gets her with murder. She's my grand's favorite. She's the little munchkin that
little
my
personality never
knew we needed.
That she has. Do you think that's a lot from your influence? Because she's like taken Holly Ray and she's put a magnifying glass onto some of your sparkle.
So like my mom is very out there. So like my mom will wake up in the morning and she's singing, and like that's the kind of person she is. And Mimi's definitely got that from her. My mom is very extrovert. She talks to everyone. She's very out there. And Mimi's has got that from her. And then also, you know, Mimi is always a dancer. She's always at band practice. She's with these extroverted musicians and artists all the time. I think that definitely influences her and her personality. And she just started grade one. And she's so cute. And I'm not saying because she's my sister. She's really special.
She is
she's
incredible.
She's got a special energy, a special aura. And
you know what I find so beautiful? And I know I've got to let you go. But the fact that you went through what you went through and so with such strength. And now you're able to be paired up with another incredible, strong young lady who also had some sort of, I don't even want to say, there wasn't an abandonment. It was just almost like her parents gave her that opportunity and put that other little girl there like an angel to go and get her so that she could make her way to you, because that's where she needs to be.
Yeah, 100%. And she's just, the thing is, everything in life, I know it sounds so cheesy, it happens for a reason. There's a purpose for everything. And I really, really, I think this whole experience with memes especially has really taught me that. It's taught me the power of women and the power of what it is, what a family as well. When Mimi first came, she had no personality. She was quite like a dormant child. She was,
she'd been left by herself.
Exactly. So she just, and she's just flourished, and she's so happy, and she has so much love to give, and we're so lucky to have Mimi. Everyone's like, oh, she's so lucky that she found you. I'm like, no, we're lucky that she found us.
And you know what? I also love that your mom, about the please adopt, mm. because I hear so many people are desperate to have children, and you often see it's very much an ego thing.
Yeah.
It's not because you want to be a parent. It's because you want to see a little Holly running around.
Yes, 100%.
Or you want to see a little whoever.
It's a like a primal, you know, passing on the seed, having, and that's great. But there's something really special about adoption, and I think, but it's specific people that can adopt, and that's just the truth. You have to have it's a certain person that can take on that love.
100%.
Because it's a very special love. It's not this,
it's not
the love of your own child, and which is also beautiful, but the love of a child who's not your biological child is a very, very special love. It's a special attachment that not everyone can take on. And I think it's, this whole thing's taught me is something I really want to do, and I think I will definitely adopt. I might have a child and then adopt after
16.
That. Exactly. because it's really beautiful.
Holly, I am so, so grateful that you came and made some time for us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. East Coast is like my home.
No, so. we do love you. And I mean, the work you do is phenomenal. And I just thank you so much for opening up and being so honest with us. And
such a pleasure.
Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.